Now, another priority is for us to understand how people actually use water and how climate change and the way we use land can affect the availability of water in the future. Dr. Richard Harding is from the Centre for Ecology and Hydrology and one of the coordinators of the European Network of Researchers called WATCH, and that's short for Water, W-A-T, and Global Change. And he's with us now. Hello, Richard.
Hello, good evening.
Thanks for joining us on The Naked Scientist.
Hello.
Now, as we've just heard from Eugene Kluter, having clean fresh water is something that many of us take for granted, but it's certainly not the case that everywhere on the planet they have access to healthy, safe water. So what are the main problems linked to the availability of water and our uses of it?
Well, there's many problems linked to the uses of water, and we've heard a lot about them just now. But we have to realise that the majority of the water use that's used across the world is actually used for agriculture. Something like 90% of the water that is extracted in these dams and actually from the aquifers, the underground aquifers, are used for irrigating crops.
So 9 out of 10 litres of water we use is for food, essentially?
Yes, that's right. That's obviously an essential purpose, particularly at the moment we're having to feed something like 6 billion people. There are many, many people, particularly in developing countries, who don't have enough to eat. And in the future, we're going to have to feed perhaps 9 billion people by the mid part of this century.
So we are looking at needing a lot more water to be able to feed all those people. So if water for agriculture is such an important and huge part of the global water cycle, if you like, is that what you at WATCH are focusing on?
Yes, what we're trying to do in WATCH is firstly to identify exactly how much water we have. And quite surprisingly, it's quite difficult to get a picture across all the world that we trust of what the rainfall is, what the evaporation is, and what the runoff in the rivers is. And then beyond that, we have to look at what the consumption patterns are now for agriculture, for domestic water use, for industry, and what they might be in the future and what the consequences of that might be.
And those are all things I assume that you're looking at, trying to collect more of that data and bring it all together.
Yes, what the WATCH program is, and actually many of the researchers at the Centre of Ecology and Hydrology do, is we're trying to bring together the experts on the climate, the experts on hydrology who know about what happens to the water when it falls on the ground, and then there's another group of scientists, the water resource engineers, who understand how you store water, how the population uses water, and how it's supplied to where it's needed.
And we've talked already about agriculture, and I presume that as we change the way we use land and do different things with it, this must have a significant impact on water availability as well.
Yes, yes, there's a lot of issues in that. Certainly different crops use water in a different way, and some crops use more water than other crops. And certainly as you change, for example, as you natural vegetation is cut down and crops are put in, that again changes how much water is used. And referring back to the scientist from Colorado, that in itself has an impact on the local and actually the regional climate. So we have to take all these factors into account if we're to make a good assessment and a realistic assessment of how much water we'll need in the future and where we should be growing food.
And increasingly, many of us are living in huge cities, and presumably, as we heard already from South Africa, providing fresh water for all those people is a huge issue. And presumably, simply by building on the land and changing the way water behaves, we are also changing the availability of water for us to use elsewhere and in the cities.
Yes, we are. In fact, cities, the concrete of cities doesn't actually uses a lot less water than plants. So on one hand, by concreting over large areas of farmland, you're actually using less water, but there's a whole load of other issues. for example, the rainfall, particularly in areas where they have a very heavy rainfall, will run off city areas and concrete areas very quickly. And actually that water is sort of lost to the soils and the surrounding groundwater. So there are sort of pluses and minuses to the local water resources. And that's obviously before we consider the quality of the water that is in the cities and underneath the cities.
And we've already touched on the idea that we've got to feed lots of people, we've got to provide them with water, and that's already straining our current resources, and that's only likely to get worse as the population increases. And then we've got climate change as well to make things even more tricky. Is that something else, presumably, that you've got to take into account?
Yes, I think so. I mean, as you referred, there's actually many places in the world where we're already using water unsustainably. And there's many places in the world, for example, where the groundwater levels are dropping quite alarmingly because water's being pumped out to grow crops. In the future, the climate change is going to have an impact on that. We're actually quite uncertain about what rainfall patterns are going to be in the future. We're quite certain about the temperatures will increase, and that'll have an effect on increasing the amount of evaporation into the atmosphere. But it's much, much more difficult to predict what will happen to rainfall patterns. They're much more dependent on the patterns of depressions and circulations in the atmosphere. But there is general agreement from all the climate models that the dry areas are going to tend to get drier and the wet areas are going to get wetter. And of course that's pretty bad news, because dry areas like the Mediterranean, like the Midwest of the United States, like South Africa and Australia, are all predicted to get dry. Now, we're quite uncertain, so we're not absolutely certain about that, but it is looking that climate change will be an additional stress on what is already quite a serious situation.
Well, thanks, Richard. And just to finish things off, is Watch going to be providing solutions, or are you basically more handing your information on for someone else to come up with an idea of what we can do to increase the sustainability of water use?
Yeah, I'm afraid we're probably unlikely to provide many solutions. I mean, I think the solutions were very well summed up by your previous contributor from South Africa, who was essentially, in essence, saying that we have to use water much more efficiently, much more cleverly, and make best use of the resources we have. What Watch can do is give us our best estimate of what we have at the moment and what we're going to have in the future, which will sort of help us make plans and identify critical points and hot spots where we need perhaps to put additional resources in, maybe to build more dams, maybe to improve the distribution of water, or even maybe change the land use practices in some of those areas.
Thanks, Richard. That was Richard Harding from the Centre for Ecology and Hydrology.
Laying the facts bare.
I say.
The Naked Scientists.